Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars
Independence Day, everyone. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's great to see you all here, and great to have you join us on our live stream as well. If you're new this morning, my name's Christy. I'm the worship director here, and I've been missing for several weeks because I had a baby. So if you see or hear a baby, that's mine. So thankful that he's joined us. This morning, as we prepare for worship, I've been thinking a lot about the Israelites. And I was thinking, it's incredible how God led them through, out of slavery, through the desert, through the waters, and all these incredible things. But they still forgot their God. Somehow, they still worship idols. They still, you can read the Old Testament, and they wander in the desert. And I was just thinking about the importance of remembering who God is and what he's brought us through, and remembering those amazing things that he's done in our lives, and most of all, he's given us the gift of salvation. So that's what this song reminds us of this morning. Let's stand. You're already standing, but let's worship together. Let's sing together.
And over the days and the weeks and the months and the years of being in relationship with you, we've learned to trust you, to claim the reality in God we trust. And why wouldn't we? Your nature and your character draw us to you. We're thankful for everything that you do in us and through us. And as we celebrate this Independence Day, this 4th of July, we remember that you're the God who marks each and every day of our life. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. And as you have spoken and created life, you're still speaking to us in the revelation and the truth of your word. Help us to live out your truth each and every day. And as we think about the freedom that you do give us by grace and by mercy and through your love, we know that we haven't exercised our freedom in very truthful ways all the time. In very exemplary ways all the time. And so we ask that as we confess our sins to you, that, well, we trust that you will be faithful and just, that you will cleanse us from those things. As we gather, we do think of our whole world. We pray for the leaders of the world. We pray for those missionaries that are proclaiming your word today throughout the world. We pray for our own national leaders and local leaders. We pray for not only governmental and political leaders, but we pray for corporate leaders. We do ask that they would make good decisions, that you would give them discernment and right judgment as they desire to move us forward in the future. And Jesus, as we come today, we have our own things a part of our mind, heart, and soul. And I ask that as we lift those to you, that you would not only hear our prayers, but that you would respond to our prayers, which is who you are. You are able and willing to respond to our prayers. Bring healing, bring guidance, bring provision, bring comfort to those that we've lifted to you. And Lord, in this time, we want to worship you, and it's great to be getting back to what might be our new normal. Allow us through your Holy Spirit to lift you up, and as we lift you up, Lord, I ask that you would lift us up as well. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's thank those leading us in worship. Yes. So for those that are joining us on live stream, I'd encourage you to join the chat that is now taking place online. I'm not sure if you can see this in terms of being online, but we've put a lot of our seating back to the way that it's always been, but we do have a section that is social distance. We encourage you to come down. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, please do that, and we will definitely respect that. We are happy to be back without masks, being next to one another, and enjoying talking and interacting with one another. So when you're ready, come on down. We're ready for you. Today, obviously, is 4th of July. I found the red, white, and blue shirt I have that's the brightest and the loudest. So this is the one. It just happens to be, well, something that reminds me of a recent vacation I had. And that's never a bad thing to do, right? Just enjoy those vacations and remember them in a fond way. Today, I want to remind you about Promise Keepers. Guys, this is for you. Here's the video.
We can prove to the world that Jesus is Messiah, and they will believe that he has been sent of God.
Hey, Dr. Les Parrott here. Now, if you're wondering, should I go to that PK 2021 deal? Let me tell you, yes, you're going to miss out if you don't. Incredible array of speakers, and you are going to leave a new man. I guarantee it. You will love it.
Promise Keepers, AT&T Stadium, Dallas, Texas. 2 days in July that will make history. Will you join me? I'm going to encourage you to not only join me, sign up today, go to the website. As a young man, I went to Promise Keeper events, and here I am today by the grace of God. If you have a son, bring your son. If you have a grandson, bring your grandson, your neighbor, your friend. We're gonna gather in Jesus' name. This event will make history. AT&T Stadium, and we're about to do one thing together, change the world. Let's do this.
So just so you know, we're not getting on a plane and going down to Texas. We're going to make it a lot easier for you guys than that. We're going to hold this live stream event here at SCC. All you need to do is sign up and pay your $20. That will cover some excellent food that we're going to prepare for you. And be here on the 16th and the 17th. There are more details for you online. And when in doubt, if you have a question, call Pastor Rick, and he'll be leading that time, and I'm sure that he can answer your questions. Today, we have our very own Christy Paris, our elder of parties, congregational life. She's reading our scripture passage today.
Good morning, church. Today I will be reading from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice."
Perseverance, being powerfully persevering in prayer. Well, that's something we've all done for the last 16, 18 months, isn't it? It's interesting that what we have needed to decide, and we've decided that, are we going to give up or are we going to look up? And I think as we feel as though things are dwindling down, things are growing in around us, things become a little hopeless. We've tried once or twice or 10 times. We begin to fade a little bit. We feel as though we want to throw in the towel. But instead of giving up, we're supposed to look up. And one of the best ways to look up to God when things are difficult or frustrating or complicated or far beyond our control is to do that with some powerful perseverance and prayer. That's what this parable is all about. Let's look together at the parable. You know the scene that there is a judge of a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. The NIV says he was a godless man and he had contempt for everyone. Wow. I wouldn't want that guy to be my judge. Would you? No. You know why? He didn't give a hoot for anyone. For anyone. And it's one thing to have some leverage in society, but this woman had no leverage at all. None. Why? She was a widow. Yet she was persistent. She was nagging regularly at this judge to give her righteousness against her foe. Verse 3, a widow of the city came to him repeatedly, and this word means repeatedly, 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 repeatedly. She was the definition of perseverance. She kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And she stated, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." Now, the Greek word here for widow really means to be forsaken, to be without. And we understand that in society at this time, the culture at this time, women didn't have a lot of leverage, and a widow had virtually none. Why? Because they were forsaken. They were very low down on the ladder of political standing within the community. And so that highlights even more the persistence of this widow, this woman. She nagged at him and nagged at him and nagged at him and nagged at him. That's not my words. I took that from a scholar. She pestered him. She showed up at the door of his chambers on a regular basis. And every time he saw her, he went, "Oh, it's that woman again. What am I going to do?" Well, finally, she wore down this judge. And what does the judge declare in verse 5? "This woman is driving me crazy. I will make sure she gets justice because she is wearing me out with all of her constant requests." Now, the phrase "wear him out," she's wearing me out. That image is that she is coming to his chambers and she is physically punching him. It means to get a black eye. Now, we don't know if she was physically punching him to give him a black eye or were the other judges, as they watched, said, "Look, you can't be a very good judge. This woman's giving you a black eye. She's giving a mark against your great reputation." But we know this. She was powerfully persistent in her request to the judge. And in the end, she got what she wanted. Justice. Justice against her enemy. Now, why is this parable included? I believe that this parable is included in this section because God wants us to know something about him, and he wants us to know something about us. Our God is not like the judge. Our God gives a hoot. Our God cares for each and every one of us. He is not an uncaring God. He is not a God who is far off. He cares about us in a very personal and a very loving manner. Now, on the other side, see, Jesus has set us up. So is this the view that we have of God? He's like the judge. Or do we feel like we have to be like this widow woman in our dealing with God? Do we have to get rough with God? Is that what it takes to get God's attention? To get God to respond to our requests? And well, what Jesus wants to know is, no, God is able and willing to respond to our prayers. That God is for us and not against us. And so we may feel like complaining, but that's not required. We might feel like yelling, but, well, that's not required. Complaining and yelling and stomping our feet and feeling as though things are never going to turn out well, we don't need to be that way when we come in prayer to our Lord. Because he's listening. He is able and willing to respond to our prayers. So persistent, powerful prayers, well, they bring God into focus for us. Do we have to do certain things to get God's attention? No, he's already giving you attention because you are one of his children. We don't have to complain, although that could be cathartic for us. We don't have to be mad at God, although we do get mad at God, and he understands that. We might feel as though that we have to have this dramatic lament before God, yet that is not what is required. It's not what God needs to hear us and to respond to us. We just need to come to him open-hearted, focused on who he really is, not who we imagine or we think or we heard he is. We need to take God at his word. So do not think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people, his elect, who cry out to him day and night. Question mark. I tell you, he will grant justice to them very quickly. Why? And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. He answers us out of his glorious riches. And we read other places that his storehouse is big and supernatural and miraculous. We often think God will respond to the common. But when it comes to something miraculous, we think we're not worthy. And in that emotional state, that spiritual state, we push upon God this idea that somehow he'll not respond to us. That he'll hold back and say, well, I'll show you. No, that's not the God that came to this planet, that gave his life on the cross for our sins, who resurrected and promises us resurrection. Now see, God is God. And as you look at his nature and his character, you would ascribe all of these things in their ultimate definition to God. Let's look first at his nature. God is sovereign. Well, what does that mean? God is in control, right? God is the one that is able to act. He's the one that is willing to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God is eternal. Therefore, he is transcendent. And we miss that. There's a few religions that have missed this. Oh, yes, they believe that God is transcendent, but he's so far away, he can't do any good. No, God is transcendent, but God is also near, ready and willing to respond to our prayers to him. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere, transcendent and beyond, and in the here and now. He's omnipotent. He is the power. The power behind all good things. He's so powerful that he brought the world into creation just as he spoke. Yeah, that's a powerful God. And that's God's nature. His character is also supreme. He is a righteous God. He judges rightly. He is a just God. He shows no partiality to anyone else. He is a loving God. He does not know how to not love us. He is the essence of love, for every good thing comes from God. He's a God that is truthful. He never lies. In fact, I like to challenge people. I please read the Bible and then come tell me the thing that the Bible says you should do that's not good for you. And then on the other hand, find me the thing that God tells you to do, and that's not a good thing to stay away from. God does give us a path in his truth, and it should be that way. Dave Dervecki said that if you value everything, then you value nothing. And we know something about value. That's what the 4th of July is all about. The value of being independent. The value of being codependent, so to speak, with one another. Interdependent with one another. Yes, God is good. God is willing and able. Hear what David exclaims. He says, look to the Lord, go to him for help. And how often we go to so many other things for help. And not that some of those coping mechanisms and some of that information isn't good. In fact, the great thing about what I've learned as in my counseling training is that every good thing I've ever read about how to be a good counselor or a therapist, I can find it in the Bible. It's right here. And it may be worded a little bit differently, but see, it's true and it works in relationships between people because that's what God is all about, creating us in his image. And not only calling us to him, but calling us to one another. We should look to him for help. Powerful, persistent prayer enables us to focus on God's purpose in our life. What is God's purpose in our life? God's purpose as we pray to Him, God's purpose is He wants to do more than we are willing to pray for. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, when I pray, I want to kind of pray the sure bet prayers, right? Right? I mean, I don't want God to not show up, and then that'll make me, well, maybe make me feel worse. And I only feel that way because I don't really understand how prayer works between God and me, me and God. And what I can see as I look at what's gone on in my life is I want to have a tendency to pray the safe prayers. And God always wants to do more than we pray. More than we can what? More than we can think and imagine. Now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. This little widow woman ought to get us aspiring for more in our prayers. Asking God to do more than the simple, why not the supernatural? Why not pray for something miraculous? And I'm like you, well, let's go through all these other things and then, okay, we got nothing else. All right, we're out. Now we got to go to God and pray for a miracle. Prayer is not the last thing to do. Prayer is the first thing to do. Because God always wants to do more than we pray for. Now, why do we need to be persistent in our prayers so that our prayers will be powerful? Simply, God often answers our prayers in stages. God builds from one moment to another moment to another moment to another moment in our life. And because life is filled with what? Different ages and phases, oftentimes God answers our prayer here, 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 and here. Not all at one time. Sometimes God says no to one thing so that He can give us something bigger in blessing. We asked Him for this, but what He really has in store for us is this. And if He granted this, then we wouldn't have experienced this. And again, that brings into focus God really knows us. And God really does have a plan for our life. And so when he does say no to something, it may very well be because He has something bigger in store for us down the line. When we pray, there are times when, yes, God says yes. But there are also times where God says wait. And then there are times when God says no, and we don't know why. Ah! Why can't He just answer my prayer? I mean, He's sovereign and all those other big things we just talked about. And maybe like you, I've got a few of those on my list that I'm keeping. When I get to heaven, I have a list that I want to sit down with Jesus and I want answers. But the other side of it is, well, it's so glorious to be in heaven, maybe I just won't care anymore about my list. We don't always know in the moment why God says wait and why God says no. And I would encourage us that God's delays are not His denials. They're not. Sometimes he says, wait. Waiting moves us from obligation to expectation. This little persistent widow woman, she expected that the judge would do what she was praying he would do, as ornery as he was. God wants us to expect. God wants us to stay engaged. God wants us to trust him. In God we trust. And we must trust him when he says wait. And when he says no, he's got a good reason, even if we don't know it. Let me close with this. Faith is the muscle of prayer, and it grows by being stretched. Faith is the muscle of prayer, and it grows by being stretched. And as we're being stretched, as God is forming us into the men and women of God that he's called us to be, we need to remember this passage out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. And we're all a little weary after the last year and a half, aren't we? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the right time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Yeah, we have a choice. We can either give up or look up. The Lord's Supper reminds us that we're to look up. The Lord's Supper is a reminder that when we need help, we should look to the Lord first and foremost. The other element of the visible church as we celebrate communion is that we're not only in communion with Christ, but we're in communion in relationship with one another. And I like this thought. Many times the answer to someone else's prayer is in this room. It's the person, another person who's gathered around the scriptures. It's in someone else who is praying and asking God to lead them and inform them as they go throughout their day. This meal tells us that an angry, contemptuous judge is no example of him. That he is truthfully loving to us, sacrificially loving for us. You know, Christianity is really the only religion where the deity dies for the worshiper. Every place else, the worshiper must die to something for the God, for the deity. Here at SCC, I would encourage you, as we pray and go to communion, please take the bread individually. Because God has called you, God does have a plan for you and you personally. Together, let's hold the cup and let's take the cup together, because as I like to say, we're all in this together. And not just for this season. Not for just the season that's up ahead, but you're stuck with me for all eternity. Yeah, we're stuck with one another for all eternity. So on that night, he blessed the bread and the cup. I'm going to do it today, watch. Look at that. I haven't even broken it yet. There we go. He took the bread and he held it out and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this, remembering that I do this for you." And then he took the cup and he passed the cup around. And he said, "This is my blood that I'm willingly shedding for you." God shares his blood so we don't have to sweat blood. And in the giving of his body and in the giving of the shedding of his blood, he proves to us that God is willing to do the ultimate to communicate his love, his plan, his concern for each and every one of us. We do individually respond to God's call, but he has put us together as his church for a reason, so that we might fulfill the Great Commission. We might do that globally, but we might do that with those who are right around us. And as I said, many times the answer to a prayer that we have is someone else who's a Christian that we're in relationship with. We are in this together now and for all eternity. Let's pray together. Lord God, continue to give us persistence, excuse me. That persistence has got us through the last year and a half. Persistence is what enables us to keep doing what you called us to do when there's obstacles and odds, detours and dead ends in life. And as you have been faithful to us, we want to be faithful to you, obedient to you. Lord, enable us to take what we've learned today, what we've experienced in communion today. Allow us to take that with us and allow that to fuel us throughout the week. Lord, walk with us each and every day. Give us a listening ear to your inner promptings. Allow us, Lord, to remember that in the end we are victorious because you were victorious over everything in this world, even death. And that same power that resurrected you is the power that you give us and put at our disposal each and every day. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ alone, who took on flesh,
fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
There in the ground, sing it to me.
There in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Aren't you glad we stand in the power of Christ, that he has given us victory and life? Praise God for that this morning. As you go out this week, remember that we serve a God who is loving and faithful. He wants you to ask even for big things. So be encouraged. You can't ask too big this week. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.